Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The home team.
And here we go.
All right, so kicking into hour number two, it is the home team, Chris and Jeff. Happy New Year. You know, I was over at my my parents this morning, and my mom, you know, was asking about you, how you were doing and everything. And I was like, well, actually, I haven't seen them so far this this week. I would see him today. And she said that I you know, well, what is he like? You need to get him something and, you know, make him feel better. And I went, well, what he likes is Georgia football, unfortunately. So, yeah.
Well, tell your mom I appreciate her thinking about
she's
me.
She's like your biggest advocate.
Well, so, I appreciate it.
I got you a signed picture of Ben Crenshaw. I know how much you like golf.
I do.
Oh, wait, you went to Texas, though. I'm sorry, right?
That's all right. I like gentle Ben, though. That's all right. Listen, Texas played great. They deserve to win.
No, they
outplayed
us.
Yeah. And I know we've just had that news come down. I'd heard those guys. I'd kind of gotten that scoop this morning that those guys might be leaving. Hopefully Holyfield stays. I'd be worried a little bit more if Holyfield leaves because he gets a lot of that hard yardage.
Well, let's get into the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution, because we've got some extra things to talk about. Obviously, Isaac Nauta had announced right around 3 o'clock this afternoon that he was turning pro, but now in the last hour we hear about Riley Ridley, but also Mecole Hardman, and then there is Luke Ford, who is indeed transferring back to be closer to home, and he'll be going to Illinois. So that's just like that, that's five guys now that are gone because Fields, right? Nauta,
yep.
Ford,
yep.
Ridley, and Hardman.
That's a lot of personnel.
I expected Nauta and Ridley were. I'm not surprised
too.
By them. Hardman is the one who really stings. What does Georgia's receiving corps look like next year as far as a two deep now?
I would say J.J. Holloman and Tyler Simmons would probably start. Then we'll see between Tommy Bush, Demetrius Robertson. I mean, he's going to have to step up this year. And, you know, you got Kearse Jackson, a couple of guys in the program. And I would think Dominic Blaylock is going to
– he's not redshirting.
No.
Do you think this also, for any doubt about what position Micaiah Tung was going to come in and play, that he's going to be
on offense
now?
For right. Sure. And, I mean, you know, he might be thick enough that one day he could project as a tight end, but – now you're talking about Ford was kind of that heir apparent after Nauta and Warner, but now you got Charlie. Charlie will be the tight end, obviously. He's a terrific player, and we'll have that Rylan Goode as the backup. But that's a spot where, you know, Georgia –
it's suddenly pretty thin, right?
I mean, that could even be a spot, too, like if there was a grad transfer out there just to add depth. I mean, Charlie's going to be the starter. He's a terrific player. And like, he made a great catch in the Sugar Bowl, too, so – you know, he's going to be the guy, but, you know, even if there was somebody just to add a little depth there, and then the next year we'll get that Arik Gilbert coming in.
Are we done? I know there's still there's Hazelwood and Stevenson that are going to announce tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the scholarship numbers look like now. I mean, could we still sign somebody in February now?
Or I think we could get – two more. I think we're going to get Stevenson. I think that's a borderline
all right.
Done deal. Because I think he's even a guy. He's coming in early, I think.
Both of them are, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hazelwood, I don't think we're getting.
Okay.
Which is – that's all right. But Stevenson, we definitely need just to –
he really made me angry, though, on
I know.
The 19th when –
oh, the drama
yeah.
There.
It's like, I hope we don't get him. By the way, I don't believe that now. I hope we do get him.
And, you know, I know there's that offensive guard that got mentioned today that's wanting to visit. Is it Doug Nestor? Is that right? Who had been committed to Ohio State.
Yeah.
And then there's another DB who's probably going to go to Florida. I don't know how to pronounce his first name, but his last name's Elam. But his uncle was Matt Elam. Like, he's going to go to Florida.
Sure. I mean, if you're like a guy who catches passes now at Ohio State, you're like, man, these quarterbacks, they hate each other. I got to get out of here.
There's no doubt. I mean, that's – I'm just telling you, I wish Fields nothing but the best, but –
I mean, that's something for the new coach, Ryan Day. I mean, at what point do you kind of like pull Martell aside and be like, listen, man, pipe down, because this is creating sort of an uncomfortable situation. Those guys might end up being roommates.
They are
quarterbacks, right?
Might get in a fist fight or something.
I mean, it was really something. That's like, listen, you know what? You're a confident guy. And you're not going to let Fields just walk in here and take your job, and that's good, because that's going to—I mean—that's going to make you even better. But at some point, you know, you just need to maybe
back down a little bit,
calm down,
calm down.
I mean, I'm not—you know—I'm sitting here and I'm like, my God, it's got to be uncomfortable. But Fields is still going there, so I guess he didn't have a problem with it.
The point being, I think you're right on that end, but also for Justin, just. Wherever he was going to go, it was going to be an elite program like Georgia. It's not like they weren't going to have good players at that position. And let me tell you what else they're going to do for next year. They're going to be recruiting a top-notch quarterback, too. I will promise you that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they'll get one, but if there's an elite quarterback out there in Ohio or Michigan or something, I will promise you Ohio State's offering him.
In hindsight, looking back on it, he should have just stuck with Penn State, because he'd be starting there next year. As McSorley was done, and that's it.
And Jake Fromm would have been on the field for all those downs in the penultimate drive of the Alabama game.
Yeah.
I think looking back on that now, and I get it, that's a tough situation to handle, and quarterback is such a unique position. But that's probably one, the way it turned out, where Kirby and Jim Chaney and James Coley are saying, like, golly, why didn't we have Jake in there for those two first down plays?
No, I know. And all year.
It was a mistake.
Yeah, the moments that Fields would come in and it would feel like, I mean, just there would be random spots he would show up on the field.
And, I mean, he did a lot of good things. I mean, the kid's very talented. And, you know, I'm not second-guessing – you know, putting him in or playing him, but I did think at the time it was a mistake to bring him in for those two plays against Alabama because Fromm was so good. And now, in hindsight, being 2020 like it is, you certainly look back on it now and are like, my goodness, we wasted two downs there.
No, I know. But, like, I was ecstatic when we got him.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, when he played this year, he was really good, and he could have had a bright future here, but he'll have a bright future wherever he goes. But that is the thing. And Ohio State's got a guy who was, you know, a high-profile recruit coming out of high school, and Tate Martell, who does not appear that he's not backing down. It's like, well, you know, he was here, and Fromm certainly didn't back down. And look, I mean, I say this, I mean, the presence of Fields, who knows? Maybe it just made Fromm even all that much better, because Fromm didn't just want to automatically concede the position to a guy like Fields coming in. And, you know, I'm sure Martell's not either now.
Well, there really wasn't any doubt this past season, and there'll certainly be no doubt moving forward. Jake Fromm is Georgia's quarterback. I mean, for the team of 2019, if he stays healthy, this could be a plus. And if he comes back for the 2020 season, great. I mean, if you got Fromm for 4 years and he stays healthy, then the loss of Fields is not that enormous to absorb. Now, where it could hit you, if, God forbid, something happened, and or if Jake were to turn pro after the 2019 season, then you'd be in a spot where you'd feel like, boy, we really miss him. But if Fromm stays all 4 years, and he's had two phenomenal years, he loves college, I mean, and hopefully he does, then really, in the end, you'd be missing out on 1 year of Fields as a potential starter.
Yeah. That's it. And hopefully that – but the key is now Fromm's got to be here in 2022.
Sure. But it was one of those things I always wanted him to be here in 2020. But
I if he plays
– yeah.
You know, I mean, even anywhere like he did this past season in 2019, he's going to have something to think about.
Well, that's a good problem to have. And, again, Georgia will go out and recruit a good quarterback next season and then for 2020. And listen, Stetson Bennett – is a very talented player. When he is called on, I have full confidence in him. And I think the other thing that getting Stetson in did was that it certainly puts you in a spot. I mean, Georgia liked this Dwan Mathis, and obviously Ohio State did too. I mean, now you're in a spot where you can look at developing him for a couple of years. So maybe, you know, in 2021, let's say best case scenario, Georgia wins a national title in 2019 and, you know, is back in the hunt for it in 2020 and Jake's turning pro. Then you'll have Bennett as a fifth-year senior in 2021 and Mathis would be, I guess at that point, a redshirt sophomore. And you'd probably have a good one coming in as well.
All right. Well, I mean, Georgia now we got five spots that have opened up on offense. So we know there are other things on the things to do list this offseason for Georgia. I mean, working through spring practice and then heading into the long summer. My gosh, it's only January 4th. We got a long way to go now.
And the thing is, even though we've already got a great class in the fall, you don't have signing day to look forward to. So we'll maybe get two more guys. And again, like for Stevenson, I mean, I think he's –
If he's
enrolling beforehand. So
yeah, like basically he knows where he's going and the school knows where he's going. He just wants to make it public tomorrow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, so does that mean is there maybe one, maybe two more guys that you pull in there late? And
like, I wonder, you know, again, with Kirby and managing the roster, I'm sure he's not that. None of this news today is like catching him off guard. I mean, maybe Hardman's decision, but even then, I wouldn't.
It wasn't stunning. I think it was maybe a bit surprising. My guess is, Chris, that Georgia signs Stevenson and maybe one more. But again, Kirby and this staff, they're not reaching on guys. If they don't think a guy can play, they're not going to sign a guy just for the sake of getting to a certain number. And that was a big key to the recruiting success these last 3 years, that Georgia didn't go for that full boat his first year when he basically held together Coach Rick's last class and pulled in a couple more pieces. And, you know, he always likes to leave a little wiggle room. I think most coaches these days do too, Chris, especially now with the redshirt rule, what it is, and with the grad transfer situation. I kind of think these days kind of 82, 83 is the number you want to be at in case, you know, something opens up. I mean, who knows?
Well, like last summer, Demetrius Robertson.
Absolutely.
Or even, I mean, basically every year now we've signed.
Yeah, from Bo Smith, Jay Hayes, Cameron Nizelec, Demetrius Robertson. So, you know, if there's a guy, even if it's just somebody who's going to give you a little bit of depth, I think it's good to have a little bit of wiggle room there.
All right, moving on to the 5 at 5. Jeff, this was the hot topic yesterday. I don't want to dwell on it too much. Just get your quick reaction to it. But Tim Worley, he's one of the great players in the program. Wrote a lengthy essay about the Sugar Bowl loss. Where did you come down on it? Were you like, yeah, Tim is right on, or is it more Tim Worley yells at cloud for you? Which is it?
It's probably a little bit more of the latter. I mean, you know, not to say he didn't have a couple of good points in there. I think it was probably one of those things that as soon as the game was over, every Georgia fan was mad with what happened. I mean, we played terrible. There are no two ways around it. It was a bad night for Georgia and a good night for Texas. And, you know, here's the thing. We're going to go one or two directions from this. I'm confident the direction we're going to go. All of a sudden, it says, well, it's a different era now, boy. Now we're backsliding. I don't believe that for a second. Or is this a deal, you know, when we get back to work, it's like, hey, guys, you know the attitude. You know what this just showed you? We're on the verge of beating a team playing for the national championship that might win it, and we look like the best team in the country. And then we missed a field goal and got outscored 49-7. 21 straight from Bam, and we were losing 28-7. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
The fine line, I'm about to use a semi-bad word here, from being great and sucking, it's a tightrope. It really is. So I think that's going to be, especially for a young team that, as we said, basically two-thirds of the roster were freshmen and sophomores. I mean, when spring starts back up, all right, guys, it was a great year last year. We got our hearts ripped out, and then we gave a poor effort and a poor performance in the Sugar Bowl. How are we going to respond to that? How did you like when those Texas fans were chanting overrated? You know, you guys were chirping on social media about deserving to be in the playoff. You did talking, and the motto of this program is more walk than talk. And that wasn't always the case before. And instead of going out and making our case against Texas in the Sugar Bowl, we did it on social media, and then we went out there and embarrassed ourselves. How are we going to respond to that?
Well, I'll tell you, how I think Georgia's going to respond is they're going to demolish Notre Dame for it next
September.
I like
hearing that. We think we'll beat Tech, too.
I knew you were going to ask me that. Now, they made a pretty good hire,
though. They did.
They hired this Brent Key, who played for them, and he had been Alabama's offensive line coach. Now, imagine that for a second. Tech hires a guy at Alabama to, at this moment, it seems like a lateral move. Now, I'm sure they're going to name him like associate head coach or something, but I mean, Tech, it's Bama's offensive line coach. He's going to be Tech's offensive line coach. I'm sure that guy's got recruiting chops if he's been working for Saban.
You bet he does. You bet he does. And I think that's the big thing that Tech's got with this move now. I mean, I'm assuming they're not going to run the same offense, which is good because that was half of the angst, just getting ready for that. And then just for me personally, because I was a little kid when I saw its birth. And
yeah,
it just comes back to haunt me. And but now, I mean, they're going to be a factor in recruiting now. And they haven't been for a decade, basically since that class when Giff Smith, and I guess Collins was there as an assistant too, when they got Morgan Burnett, Jonathan Dwyer, Josh Nesmith, and Derek Morgan.
Sure.
In that one class.
They're going to have now – they're not going to run that offense, but they're going to have – overall, they're going to have better talent on offense than they've had.
They will. Now, hopefully, though, they should still stink for a couple of years. They
I would
should.
Think at least for certainly next year. Although I did, you know, they've added some tight, you know, some grad transfer tight ends, which obviously they need.
Yeah,
but they need to. I mean, they've got to completely overhaul their offensive line, essentially. All right, moving on to the 5 at 5. We'll shift gears and talk the NFL playoffs. I think it's a wide open field, Jeff. I could see the 6 seeds are the Seahawks and the Colts, right?
Yes.
I mean, if those two teams ended up in the Super Bowl, my jaw wouldn't hit the floor.
Now, so let's see, though. Realistically, out of the NFC, could you see the Saints going? Absolutely. By the way, the Super Bowl's in Atlanta. The Saints are.
And the Saints get 2 home games.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are in that building.
But tough to beat.
Yeah. I could see the Rams beating them, though. They have the firepower. Here's what's tough. The Bears would beat either of those teams at Soldier Field in January, but they're going to have to go to L.A., and if they win that, they got to go to New Orleans.
Well, and the problem for them, too, is their game this weekend, Philadelphia is not going to be bothered by being in the elements.
No, no.
Where, like, the Rams or the Saints would be.
So keep going down with the seeds. Dallas is probably the longest shot to me out of the NFC.
Agreed, but Dallas, I think they've got the worst coach. Do they have the worst quarterback?
Would you say he or Trubisky? Although, you know, Goff is kind of worn. When Gurley wasn't 100%, Gurley's a key to that offense.
Yeah, he started to tail off at the end of the year.
Prescott's got to be down at the bottom. Could you see Seattle going? They do have Russell Wilson. They're not as talented as they used to be.
It wouldn't blow my mind if they went. There's not a terrible team.
Philadelphia. I mean, if all of a sudden won the Super Bowl last year.
Like there's not a definite dog in the playoffs.
No, and we've had some years where there've been, I mean, at least 3, because I think back to the year, I guess when the Texans beat the Raiders and the quarterbacks were, help me, Connor Cook
and Tom, I think it was Tom Savage. Yeah.
It's like neither one of those teams had a prayer.
Right.
I mean, there was also, you had Brady and Big Ben. I mean, and you know, Denver had Peyton. It was just like, there was no way.
Was that one of those years, too, where the Houston, they won the division, but they were like 8-8 or something?
Yes. So I don't feel that way in the NFC. Let's see, in the AFC, Kansas City could go, New England could go. Houston, my preseason Super Bowl pick. How long a shot are they?
I mean, they're a longer shot. I mean, I would rank them probably 5th or 6th in the pecking order. But if they went to the Super Bowl, is Kansas City unbeatable? No,
no.
Even, I mean, New England.
Could Baltimore make a run with Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
Why not? The Chargers are definitely talented enough to, and the Colts. you know, it was, I was bullish on them like 3 years ago and gave up on them, but all of a sudden they turned into a really good team.
Here's how I think it's going to play out. The highlight of the year was that Monday night game between the Chiefs and the Rams, right?
Yes.
Which, I mean, who wouldn't want to see that again in the Super Bowl?
I'd love to see it, yes.
So what we're going to get is we're going to get the Ravens and the Bears, and the final's going to be like 10-7.
The Super Bowl's in Atlanta this year. I was thinking the Super Bowl IX when the Steelers beat the Vikings, that was 16-6.
Right.
So
that was outside, though. There was bad weather. Wouldn't halftime score 2-0?
Yes. The Superdome was supposed to be finished then, but
– It wasn't, they yeah.
Sometimes in the Big East, you've heard of Island time. They get on New Orleans time a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but hey,
well, Georgia was on New Orleans time.
There's nothing to do but eat and drink there.
Yeah.
I mean, well, and – you could play some cards if you want to.
Right.
I did not play any blackjack. All we did was cut through the casino. I didn't play one hand.
Well, that's good. You should have gone to Mississippi, though, and gotten some Texas plus 11.
Trying to buy it. Oh, man.
Tom Herman now, that's 10 straight-up wins as an underdog in his illustrious coaching career.
And so, but back to the NFL, I could see, I'm like you, I could probably see any of those teams going. I've got a feeling, though, that this is Kansas City's year. I think they've.
And Andy Reid?
Yep.
Those are like, you know, it's fun. Like the Chiefs.
Philly won it last year, so now if Reid got there with KC.
But it's two things. You got a coach who just is historically. Yeah, I mean, not been able to get there. And the Chiefs that have had from, I mean, Marty Schottenheimer.
They've had a couple of 13-3s. And
when Joe Montana was there, they lost.
The only win they got until a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah.
Because they did get to the championship.
But that was like they were a wild card or something.
Yes.
They were a 13-3 and had the one seed the next year with him, and they lost.
Right, exactly. Pittsburgh beat them. Was that 3 years ago, 18-16?
Yeah, when they made that 2-point conversion and had a penalty.
Yeah.
But the Kansas City's, they've got they're kind of notorious for not being able to get over the hump. And here's what's – if they don't win next week – the New England's going to go back to the Super Bowl because they're going to host the AFC title game.
They'll be at home. And what their last home loss in the playoffs was the Ravens got them when Baltimore won the Super Bowl that 2012 season. I believe that's the game they jumped on them 24-0.
It blew them
out.
In
the first quarter.
To me, Baltimore's always that team that I feel like New England wouldn't want to face, but then is Lamar Jackson going to go to Foxborough in the AFC title game and win? Although Blake Bortles should have last year.
That was the thing, though. That's where we needed Houston to win, I guess, was it in week 16, so New England would have to play in week 1.
Yeah. Tomorrow's game, that first one, is huge for Kansas City because they want the Colts to win to avoid having to play the Ravens or Chargers.
Yes.
Yeah. It's actually, that first game tomorrow,
it's
which,
big.
By the way, I mean, usually that's a dud game, but I think Houston and Indy's going to be really good tomorrow afternoon. But that's a huge outcome for either New England or Kansas City, because you would rather play the Colts than or Houston, I guess, if Houston won it, then they would go to New England, and Kansas City would then be stuck playing Baltimore or the Chargers.
And I know he hadn't been quite 100%, but that's also a game kind of if you're looking for the post-Brady Big Ben now that Peyton's been retired a couple of years. Now you got Deshaun Watson and Andrew Luck in that game too.
Yeah. If New England doesn't make the Super Bowl, though, let's all remember we'll have the Miami Dolphins to thank for that, because had the Dolphins not beaten New England, then the Patriots would hold the one seed right now. They would be 12-4 with the tiebreak over Kansas City.
We've seen the chinks in the Patriots' armor.
Yeah.
I mean, they got all these Georgia guys. It's just
– Yeah, but
– I'd like to see Kansas City go.
The Dolphins might have cost them that one
seed
and could cost them a trip to Atlanta.
I'd be happy for the Chiefs if they win. If the Chargers win, I'd be happy for Phillip Rivers. I don't like Baltimore. Never have, never will. I just don't like them.
Oh. Well, you know the coach of that team, his sister is the first lady of Georgia basketball.
That is true.
Jim Harbaugh was at the game last week.
I heard. But I just – and I've got all the respect for him. I loved Ozzie Newsome, but it's a franchise. They jilted Cleveland.
Yeah, I know.
And I just – I got nothing. Harbaugh's a heck of a coach, and Ozzie Newsome's
like Lamar
a heck
Jackson.
Of a GM. I do, too.
I'm rooting for him.
I just always liked Pittsburgh. That was Mean Joe Green guy. So
I'm rooting for whoever I have money on.
Boy, the Chargers might be the best team, but
they got out. They're having a hard time winning that.
Because here's the thing: even if they'd have gotten to play at home, they're not going to have any kind of advantage, and they're a West Coast warm weather team.
And they got the 1 o'clock kick Sunday.
Yeah, oof.
All right, there's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.